Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
Welcome, everybody, to the 16th epic episode of The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. The galaxy is so big, I wrote a book on it. This show is based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, the retro and modern-day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. On the West Coast over the weekend and last couple of weeks, traveling, talking to people, doing a few things. It's going to be back in the Arizona studio, a stronghold. As many of you know, we have our hard-hitting political show on Thursday. There's a ton of stuff to talk on this coming Thursday. But tonight, this is our guilty pleasure, our once-a-month show, which may expand. We have a lot of people who want to hear more Bachelor shows. I've been getting more cards and letters. If you want to reach the show, you can always call the show at 563-999-3437. Or you can email me at vonwehhuntshow@gmail.com. Please opine. I might just read your email or your dissertation live on the radio. We are live coast to coast tonight. We are in 25 countries. Many of our foreign listeners love the Bachelor's Guide show. Well, this is the Space Age Bachelor Pad, and this is a show that I designed. It's our episode 16 tonight. We're rolling right along with a star date of August the 9th, 2022 AD. And tonight, like every show night, it's a special night. A lot of you guys have been hearing the show and you like what you hear. And I always say, as you know, God save the Bachelor King. Now, the show talks about bachelordom in America and the Western societies. There's a lot of you young guys, you young bucks out there who are going to get married. Nothing wrong with that. If you meet the right lady, I say go for it. But if you don't, then you will be a bachelor, whether you like it or not. And you need to be successful at being a bachelor until you meet Mrs. Wonderful, if she's out there. We will talk about it. We hope that this show spans a 1,000 years as the Bachelor Kingdom is reborn in America and around the world. We'll talk about all kinds of topics. As you know, this is a radio variety show. Everything, and I do mean everything, is on the table. We try to keep it light on this show and fun. I'll play a bit more music. We'll play a few more promos, inject some humor and some levity. Our world today is very dark and gloomy, dark days in America. We have inflation and talks of recession. And these things hit the Bachelor very, very hard, right? Many crazy stories out there, all kinds of crime and things of that nature that can affect you and your psyche and your livelihood and your life. But on this show, think of this as the Playboy Mansion on the radio. This is the world famous, legendary Playboy Mansion show, where you can come to, dine, have a cocktail, look at some pretty girls. The bar is always open. Have a smoke, God forbid, in America today. Have a drink. Have a shot of something, a manly shot. This is sort of like a man show as well. I'm wearing my red velvet robe, slippers, cufflinks, got my cigar here, a few adult beverages, if you will. And you need all those accoutrements, as they say. But you're always welcome here. Think of me and our great callers, the supporters of the show, who are very loyal to the show, as your big brother, as your confidant, your consigliere. I, as your godfather, am running the show as the host. And we have to induct yet again another new batch of radio inductees into our Animal House Fraternity Pledge. This is an online fraternity. We are a radio fraternity. So, gentlemen, stand at attention. Stand and deliver. We will begin with our fraternity house pledge.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms, do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
Well, what's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes, yes. Well, having kids today is a big production, and we're so glad you all are now inducted properly into the radio fraternity there. But having kids is a very expensive endeavor. And one which you should only do if you're really ready for it and you know what the hell you're doing. But in today's society, I have all these married people that I know, and there's pros and cons to everything you do in life, whether you get married, whether you stay single. But now, guess what? It used to be back in the day, retro day, that well, you would have kids, and they would be so anxious to leave the house and get out from under mom and dad's thumb. They would burst out of the house at 18, go to college, hang out with their friends, you know, be the FM types, have their drinks, go to their frat parties, get laid, get screwed, have a good time, get a job, get out there in society, right? And they would burst out there. But today it's different. Now if you have kids, they can't afford anything with inflation. The homes out there where I live in Phoenix, Scottsdale, you can't even get into a home unless you've got minimum about $500,000. Now the real estate here has ballooned, and though it may get clipped here or there, it's not going to crash down to $50,000 a house. If you're thinking that, you are a financial moron. Because I'm telling you, We have too much cash in the Rocky Mountain states that's pouring in from California. So the market may get clipped is a better word for it, but not crash. That's a real heavy word. And words mean things, right? So, in other words, all you guys out there that are waiting for the market to crash, well, good luck. You're going to be an old man by the time all that happens. There's a lot of things, a lot of balls that are up in the air financially. Our government's very good, I told you before, at keeping these things going. But having kids today is having a roommate for a long time. Today, you may have kids for 40 years in your home, at least 30, 35. They're still not ready sometimes to leave the house. And can they afford $2,000 a month rent? Well, if you're a parent and if you're thinking about it, it's one more thing you got to think about. It's no longer having the kid to age 18. Your kid, though you could kick him out at 18, I wouldn't. Thing is, if you have a kid, it's now like a lifetime endeavor. So you better love being a parent. You better love having a family because you're going to have them for 30, 40 years under your roof. It's going to take them that long to get their career going and to really leave the nest. In this day and age, things are so expensive out there, the cost of living, $6 a gallon for gas in some parts of the country, definitely $4 to $5. Average home, $400 to $500 grand. It's a starter home in Phoenix, Scottsdale now. Most of the nicer homes are high five, $600 to $700, $800 grand. You know, even townhomes, $300 grand, you know. A lot of these guys say, I want to move out to the Rocky Mountain states like you, Von Wien, like you and your friends. I go, hey, man, the cheap Rocky Mountain states are over. Coming out here now is a major financial endeavor. The cheaper parts of the country right now, as a bachelor tip, if you're a young bachelor, if you're looking to buy a home, you might want to think about the Midwest. Underrated, but a good place to live, good, solid place to live. Yeah, some crazy weather, but people are very friendly. Tons of work. They're begging for young people back there. And back there, you can go on Zillow, as I have, and you'll see all kinds of cool houses for funky old Victorians, and you can get into a house there for still $120, $130, $140, $150, man. You may have to fix it up and do some sweat equity, but that's where I would start today. East Coast is too expensive. West Coast is too expensive now. Rocky Mountain states are out of this world. Too expensive. If you're a young buck, unless you're going to get a house or inherit one, you know, you might want to think about the Midwest. Parts of the Pacific Northwest aren't bad. If you live inland in a little tiny town, the problem that you're going to have there is lack of work, lack of jobs. So it's going to be poverty with a view, right? Oh, it's so beautiful up here. Yeah, but you're living in your car. You've got no money, and there's no work. So it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But one more thing to think about. Well, having kids today, as I said before, is a major endeavor. You may love your kids, and I really hope you do if you have them. But, you know, just be careful in that genre. If you meet the right girl, go for it. Otherwise, you're better off not doing it these days. It's not like it's 1950, 60, or 1970, 1980 when things were relatively affordable. Not anymore. It's really gotten pretty crazy. And the women have changed. We'll talk about the women's, right? The chicks, the dames, the broads. They've all changed too. The latest thing I've noticed from the female front is they're really friendly. And they'll give you their phone number and try texting them, try calling them. They'll be tripping over themselves to give you their phone number at a bar or lounge or a restaurant. You call them up, you get voicemail. You try texting them, it goes in the cosmic black hole. They just ghost you. It's bizarre. Ladies, if you don't want a guy to call you, don't give out your number. Otherwise, you're just wasting everybody's time. Maybe they do it for ego, but I've noticed this from a lot of guys that have complained about this, that They go, yeah, certainly these ladies, they gave me their phone number, but they're not really into meeting up. They're not really into meeting or doing anything. They just want to text maybe, if that. It's really weird. It's a toxic brew right now. Toxic dating environment. It's one which America is sliding down this weird Weimar America Republic. Not sure where we're going. But the women have changed. They're not like the hotter chicks of their sisters of yesteryear. The women that we call the ambushers on the show. Well, we are a radio variety show. We'll talk about a lot of things. But the Bachelor needs to know the upside and the downside. And guys, if you're out there, watch out for those ambushers out there. It's time to start our phenomenal, legendary show. God, what a great song back then. A little bit of Dean Martin's always good to have your cocktails ready. I raise my goblet of wine and my stein of beer on every show to all of you tonight. We salute you from the Playboy Mansion, Rocky Mountain style, from the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. I am wearing my red velvet smoking jacket with the cigar in hand, mafiosa style. You're ready to rock and roll as always. It's so glad that we're here tonight. Our guilty pleasure realized yet again.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture of the ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it.
Janice Rule and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go.
Too much for one mad hound, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
They're the ambushers.
Oh, yes. We'll get right to the phones. Let's get to the Gladiator in North Phoenix. Gladiator, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Man, I am pulling double time. I'm on my computer working again.
Well, yesterday was my birthday, and I thank you for the great birthday wishes. I appreciate
man.
That. My
happy birthday to one of the true last bachelors on the planet.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, there were a lot of girls that I dated, right? And I still work the room. But, you know, I was – it's funny. I think some guys, Paul, were, you know, really quick to get married or get hitched up. And me, I was always a – I admit, I was not so – I was picky. I was just cautious is a better word. I heard so many horror stories. You know, coming up the ranks as a young buck, guys would like clockwork, man. They'd show me their wallet and go, I used to be in this house. I used to have this Harley Davidson kick-ass motorcycle. Oh, here's a picture of my sports car convertible. And then I would always ask them, dude, why are you showing me these pictures from your wallet, you know, like in the office around the water cooler? What the hell happened to you? And the common theme was, oh, I didn't tell you. Oh, I had a great time accumulating all this cool stuff, but I got a divorce. And like the old saying goes, she gets half, and then her attorney gets the other half.
Exactly.
And that is the state of America. And the guys end up like clockwork in a dingy apartment on right by the railroad tracks, right by ghetto America. They're now in their 40s, oftentimes, middle age, they get depressed. And society, our society is so great at demoralizing men anyway. It's a war on men. We've talked about that, you know,
yeah.
and they would say, yeah, man, I'm barely scraping by. I go, well, let's get a burger or something. Oh, man, I can't afford to go to Denny's. I'm on a budget. I'd hear this. Well, I must have heard that 100 times. And so I realized as a young guy, I said, yeah, you got to get away from the soap opera and the fantasy land of, you know, marriage is going to set you free. That special girl is going to be everything you need. She'll complete you, you know, like Tom Cruise said. Because if things go south, the attorneys, they're on billboards all over Phoenix, Scottsdale, right, Paul? Saying,
oh, yeah.
You want to get divorced? Call 1-800-THE-BASTARD. I'm here, and I'll screw you after she screws you. No problem, bucko. And you, these guys end up broke. And then what happens is our society, the corporations, hate middle-aged divorced guys, especially – well, it is true, especially if you're white. They feel you deserve that. You know, you're the white European. You're now the boogeyman in society. But you can be of any color or any creed, you know.
There is a couple of definers in there I'd like to add. So it's not a war on white men in America. It's a war on white straight men in America. Right, because they're not against the gay man.
That's
and,
right. They support that.
Yeah, and with the they support all that. And what else did you say? You said, So the lawyers, right? They're like, I'll screw you after your wife screwed you, and then he's
right.
going to go screw his wife. Because they're going to be
That's
in cahoots
right.
to screw you financially in the first place. And then they wonder
right.
then they wonder why some guys are like, screw it. I'm not going to go back to work. I'm going to go live in a van down by the river, right, like Chris Farley
right.
and Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And then they wonder why when he scrapes up some money and he says, well, this country screwed me. The state government screwed me. The federal government screwed me. My ex-wife screwed me. And now my lawyer's screwing my ex-wife. And then they wonder why the guy goes, you know, to a gun shop, buys a gun, finds the attorney screwing his wife and says, all right, if I'm going to go, we're all going to go. I mean, society is pushing everybody right off the edge, right?
They are.
And,
they are.
You know, it is. It's a war against straight white man in America. And,
it's America,
you know,
with a K, with a big K, communist
that's
style.
Why, like, look, if you can, there's a lot of jobs open for single men right now. You can get one or two jobs right now. Get a good job, stash that cash so that when things turn good, finally, at least you'll have some money to have a good time. A lot of people, you know, I remember hearing this when I was young. A lot of people, when times are good, right, jobs are good, money's flowing, they tend to party instead of putting their nose to the grindstone when things are good. And then when things get bad, most people tend to ponder because they partied when things were good. They didn't set anything aside. So when things got bad, they had to ponder and say, you know, things were good, I didn't put money away. Where the smart people who put all the money away when times were good, then when times got bad, they had the money to say, screw it, I'm going to go party because I can't make any money, but I saved all that money when time was good, and now I can go enjoy myself while everybody else goes and blows their brains out. You know what I mean? Like, metaphorically.
That's right. Exactly, man. And see, that's what I was referring to was my joke was I tell a few people, while the whole world is scrounging and, you know, they're living in a van down by the river, they're eating Hamburger Helper. Nothing wrong with Hamburger Helper, but not seven freaking days a week. We're eating steak and lobster. We're eating the pizza of our choice. We're dining well, drinking well. And I tell people, food and drink is a big part of life. It's you know, we are what we eat. You got to eat, but eating right will keep you healthy, you know. Right. And a lot of people, they can't afford to eat right. So what do they do? Society will demoralize the man and say, you're a loser, right? They always say, you're a loser. Because you lost her. And in Western society, she is the prize, never the man.
Right, right.
And yeah, I was, as a young boy, I always noticed that it was all geared towards the woman, never the man. It's about the woman, her special day getting a marriage. The man even bends on his knee. I know it's tradition, but it's the first sign of being subservient to the queen bee.
Right.
You must get your knee to propose. See, that's where it starts. Now, I know some guys say, well, I'm a big, big, burly man. I'm just going to, you know, bend on my knee and give the nice little lady a ring. I get it. I get it totally. But I'm like, it's like, okay, then she sits there and she ponders. As you said, should I marry him? Should I not? And if she says no, the guy's devastated. But most of the time she'll say yes, because the women, look, it's built in. They get more fringe benefits if they say yes. It's all about the money at some point.
Yeah.
The love, like my mom and dad would say.
They get to keep the ring if they say no, right? So that's a good, you know, not looking back. So I asked my ex-wife to marry me on a very famous bridge in New England, in the middle of the bridge. And it was like, you know, midnight, 12:30 at night. Nobody was around in the middle of the bridge. I did not get on my knee. Now, it was in the middle of winter, and we were in between these four amazing antique lights on the bridge. And that's when I asked her to marry me with the ring. So I never got down on my knee. So I guess that was a sign of things to come. And then I was talking with a friend of mine about this whole, like, you know, economy and how, like, it's led to fast rising divorce rates. And I said, look, you know, if I were you and I had some money in the bank, here's what I would do. go buy the most affordable, because people are dumping these now in this economy with gas prices. Go get a great deal on a mobile home, right? Like one of the van homes. What do they call them?
The Winnebagos.
Not a big one. You know, the nicer one, right? Yeah, the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, just go find the nicest one that you can afford to buy, because people are dumping them with gas prices, bad economy, nobody's making any money, right? Go steal one, basically, but pay for it, and then drive to Santa Monica, park that sucker on the beach. You don't pay any rent. They have water hookups for free because the California city of Santa Monica doesn't want their beach all, you know, yucked out with defecation. And then you have money in the bank. You go out to eat to these California, you know, little restaurants. You live in this beautiful mobile home. And anytime you want to pick up and go, you know, you drive up and down the coast of California. You never become a resident because you're in a mobile home. You don't own land. So you don't have to worry about paying California tax on your money in the bank. And have your money in the Arizona bank with your debit card. And then, you know, pretend to be a bum on the beach. I mean, you could even collect money up and down the beach and add more money to your bank account and walk, you know, put your bus van down at the end of the beach where nobody sees you. I'm like, that's the best homeless situation going on right now. Either Santa Monica or San Diego Beach, you get a beautiful view every morning. You're in four walls. It's beautiful setup. You know, that'd be amazing, you know? And as I said it, I thought to myself, I said, wow, that's a really good idea.
I've always said, if you ever get homeless, why spend it in hot Phoenix or hot Dallas? Go to the beach, man. Doesn't California advertise that they're a sanctuary state? That there's sanctuary cities that are out there who go to these sanctuary that will welcome you with open arms. Yeah.
I can use a mobile hotspot with my computer system and work remotely for my company anywhere in the country in a beautiful, I forget the name of them though. They're not Winnebagos. They're, what do they call those things? They're beautiful buses. I mean, they're gorgeous homes.
Limo buses.
Brand new ones
those,
are like, you know, $700,000. They're crazy.
You can just call them Winnebago, or like an RV or a fifth wheel. You know?
RV, yeah, beautiful RV, right. And recreational vehicle, right? And, probably get one that would normally cost you $250,000. You could probably steal it for like 20, 30, 40 grand right now. They just don't want that.
I know.
You know?
I've told guys that before, too, on the show, that people are ditching those left and right. They can't afford the maintenance, the gas. And all you would need is the gas to get to L.A. or San Diego and on Venice Beach and places like that, and you can park that thing. And, yeah, they may hassle you a little bit. There may be a little parking meter made that may come on by. But I always say there's strength in numbers. And if you're around 100 of them.
Nope, the beach, I've been down to Santa Monica. They don't care. You can park anything there. They give space to anybody, and they don't bother you. It's a homeless sanctuary.
Yeah,
right on the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, even better.
Yep.
Even better.
Yep. And, you know, if somebody...
Yeah, I've been down there many times before.
Yeah, if they got 60, 65 grand, take half of it, buy the RV, get a nice one, update it a little bit with like 5 grand. You still got 25 grand in the bank. Go to California, work remotely out of the RV, and live the California beach lifestyle with some money in the bank and pretend you're homeless, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Plus, also, California's got tons of coffee shops, tons of with a Wi-Fi, and there's a Starbucks around every corner. You can take a coffee shop. Look at the pretty girls.
The young-looking women are there. Yeah, man, the life of – I'm telling you. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it, man.
I know. I always say, yeah, it's kind of funny. We're on the same train of thought. I always tell people, I say, if all else blows up, I go, get your RV, go to the California coast. Beautiful weather. I was just there, people. Just last week, I was out there for 2 weeks in Oregon and California. I love that weather. 60s and 70s, sunshine, you don't sweat. And I was up north. If you were down south around the Santa Monica area, it's even warmer, you know, but it never gets to like 115 like it is here in Phoenix, Scottsdale.
No,
right?
Not
and,
at all.
Beautiful people. Yeah, you'll be dealing with some crazies, but there's crazies everywhere right now, all over the country.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something. In California,
you can't escape it.
Because if you show up, they give you free food, free everything.
Mm-hmm.
That governor's given the state away because everybody's leaving. And if you like, yeah, I'm homeless. I don't have an address. Oh, well, we'll give you this. We'll give you that. We'll give you this. We'll give you They'll hand you everything. You don't have to tell them you got $20,000-$25,000 in the bank and an RV down around the corner. Don't tell them. Screw them.
Right. Just blend in, man. Just, we're some cool beach clothes. Say you're homeless. But, you know, it's kind of funny that we're talking about that because, you know, for some people, right now you and I are doing well. There's a work out there and jobs, but. You know, it's kind of funny that I often think about that as a backup plan. It's a hilarious backup plan, but I will say there's a lot to it too, you know. But you're right, man. It's like when I used to come up and meet these guys in business ball, they would show me all these things that they used to have. And the common theme was that they ended up getting divorced. And it happened to so many guys, I can't even, you know, I lost track after about 100. My point was, as a young guy coming up, I said, note to self, divorce is the common theme to poverty. And I said, as my segue, yeah, back into the theme here, I was like, if you get married, and if you're not sure, guys, my best advice is I don't recommend it in today's economy. Again, it's not like it's 1980 and you can regroup really, really fast, or 1990 even. Every decade it seems to get steadily worse. And with the high cost of living, I've always said, there's an old saying, as I said before, the girl, you know, you screw the girl, then the girl screws you, then her attorney screws her, then her attorney screws you. And so you end up losing everything. She gets half and her attorney gets the other half. So as a guy, a middle-aged guy with the war on men raging, third-wave feminism raging across the country, the young millennial people, they don't like a middle-aged white European guy. They're going to screw you over in the office. I just call a spade a spade. It's hard for those guys, unless you got a really good skill or a license, it's hard to make it consistently. Because they get kicked around a lot. And the thing is you got to be preparing guys for those eventualities. Here's the thing about marriage that always used to get me and just intrigue me. I am fascinated, even today, how people meet. I always ask them, where did you meet her? What happened? Who made the first move? It always really intrigues me. And then you see them married with two or three kids. In our society, I'm sure you would agree, Paul, we have what I call Hollywood media, where you look at the media, the commercials, the TV, every movie, everyone's always rich in a million-dollar home. Every ad, everyone's in a very spacious kitchen, huge home, and it's this prosperity philosophy, right? Well, I love prosperity, and I'm a big capitalist, don't get me wrong, but my point is, a lot of guys don't live like that, and a lot of guys are not going to attain that. So what they do, they paint this picture that everything is easy. They paint a picture in your mind, like you always say, television. They're showing you a vision of a fantasy life that may or may not be out there for you. And then they push marriage on you constantly. Get married, get married, get married. Now, I look at marriage very objectively. For some guys, it makes sense. For some guys, they're not cut out for the bachelor life. And I get it. That's totally cool. We need kids, and I'm a very big supporter of the nuclear family. Having said that, I also say it's not for everybody. I don't believe in the one-size-fits-all mentality that's out there. You know, marriage is good for some people. It's not good for everybody. And then there's some guys that are not going to get married. So I say make your bachelor life the best it can possibly be. As a bachelor, you need to have a big network of friends, maybe some family, some coworkers, lady friends you would know, social cliques, social meetup groups. You need to have a large, expansive library, if you will, of people, places, and things to do to keep you occupied. Since you're not raising children, the next generation, for the next 40 years, right? They'll be living with you for 40 years now. You need, you know, to have a good time, have a good life, but you got to stay active and stick at it because no one's going to come knocking on your doormat. You know, you got to get out there and hustle and meet people and rub elbows. And like any good politician, the bachelor is the ultimate politician. You got to get out there. You got to, you know, press the flesh, kiss the babies, get out there with the people. I always love watching the campaign trail, man, during politics, you know. And every candidate's out there, he's glad-handing people. Slap, how are you doing? How are you? Where are you from? Where do you stand on the issues? Kind of like that in a way, you've got to be kind of a candidate mentality. That's how you meet people. You got to be gregarious, in other words. You got to put yourself out there. Now, you can be a monk and live in your Tibetan shrine, I guess, or your sanctuary. Nothing wrong with that either. I'm more gregarious. I like to get out there. Then there is the bachelor who's the real solitary type. That now I love my privacy. I love my alone time. Don't get me wrong. But there are times when I love to get out there, and you got to mix it up a little bit. Travel, do something different. I spent 2 weeks on the West Coast, broadcasting the show from there. Got to hike in the Redwoods. Got to see some coast. I met a lot of interesting people along the way, traded some stories, you know. But modern day marriage, it's a real dicey game. You're basing everything, if you think about it, the foundation to me was always sand, quicksand, if you will, as a kid. I'm saying these guys base everything on the emotional fragmentation, the emotional well-being of a female species. In other words, you're basing everything on her psyche because what they always say, well, you know, happy wife, happy life, right? So right. If you come home from a work and she goes, I'm mad or I'm sad or I'm not getting what I want out of this and I want out, and then you just invested, you know, $100,000 on a wedding, on a ring, more house than you can afford to make her happy. And she goes, I'm not happy. And she folds her arms. You're like SOL, man. I mean, once a woman says that, it's hard to bring her back to reality. You know, she's already made up her mind. And she'll normally say, my attorney will contact you. I'm out of here. And there goes everything down the drain. What are your thoughts about that, Paul?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, remember, we grew up in real America, and we were taught, you know, you go to high school, go to college, you get a degree, then you get married, have kids, the wife stays home, you go work, and then all of a sudden – you know, in that, like, late 80s, early 90s, everybody wanted to be like frickin' Hillary Clinton because, you know, it took a village to raise a kid, apparently. And everybody, you know, all these women were like, no, I want a freaking career. And now we wonder why instead of 2.3 kids in average family, now it's like 1.1 child per family. And, you know, how America is being, you know, right now, I don't know how this is happening to the American family, but there's only of children, households with children, only 31% of those households are married, and we rank 25th in the world in English, reading, and writing, and mathematics in the world. We used to rank number one or two between us and Japan. Now China ranks first across the board, and they have 2.7 children per family. We have 1.1. And we wonder why the American fabric is being torn up, right? I mean, you know, and me and you, I mean, you know, you've been a bachelor your whole life. I was married for literally 15 months, right? We've been bachelors all in all, but you and I still believe in the nuclear family because all of our friends were part of that. But, you know, that's not
right.
happening to us anymore. So if that's not going to happen, young men out there, then you might as well figure the best way for bachelorhood when you can have fun with all these career women, because, you know, let's face it, women are career women now, and that's the best thing for bachelorhood. I mean, you can stay a bachelor, mm-hmm. hang out with career women, have fun with them. You don't have to commit to them. Don't even worry about it. And they probably don't even want a commitment, you know? So I think, you know, if you and I were young bachelors now, we would probably be in heaven, you know, because we'd have no pressure to get married, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're a Generation X. The pressure to get – it was – let me tell you guys bitch and moan and complain to me as you millennials. I talk to a lot of you on chat and email. You don't know what problems are. You don't even know what pressure is. You think you do. Back then – coming up in the 80s and 90s, I mean, it was intense pressure from family, from it could be clergy, even your siblings. Why aren't you married? You know, and they go through this, well, is there a problem with you or do you have an issue? No, I just didn't. You know, I used to tell them, it's very simple. Marriage to me is, I always say that society loves complexity and they love making the simple overly complex in America. I tell them, it's very simple, man. You either meet the girl of your dreams or you don't. And if you don't meet the woman of your dreams, a woman that you can sincerely look in the mirror, look in your mind's eye and your heart of hearts and say, I want to spend the rest of my life, which is a long time, with her. If you can't say that honestly, then don't do it, because there's a lot of 5 and 7 year marriages now. I got a good buddy of mine in the East Valley here in Phoenix, you know, as Matador, great, great, great guy. But he couldn't find a American wife. He had to go to Peru to find a wife. And she was a real hotsy-totsy girl, don't get me wrong. And I said, young party girl from a Peru, from a good family. Beautiful, gave him two beautiful kids. And he really, he had what I call the dad gene, where he had a burning desire to be a dad. If you don't have a burning desire to raise, literally raise the next generation, I mean, that's a whole different genre now. You don't have any, you know, then you got no business going down that road. But he really wanted to. And I could take it or leave it. To me, it was cool. If I meet the right person, if I don't, I never wanted to be saddled with, like, you know, the big child support payments, things that drain your wealth, right, that make you poor. And a lot of guys do that, and they get sapped because the state government will come after you. They don't want to give her money when they know you're out there. Well, I'll make a long story short, my buddy got divorced. The 7-year itch, she got it. The Peruvian girl left him. Now he's a single dad raising two kids, and he likes it. Now for him, it worked out, but it also cost him $100,000 to buy her out of her marriage contract. These are real things, guys, that they don't tell you in high school or your parents don't tell you. To get out of that, he had to cut her a big fat check, pay the attorneys, and luckily she's a nurse making her own money. If she wasn't, like most women don't have a career or a license to do anything, guess what? He might have been on the hook for alimony or, you know, given her support for 20, 30 years. He got off. I said, you got off relatively unscathed, man. That's not a bad deal. Still a lot of money. Don't get me wrong, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's out there. And they don't tell guys this. That's why we have this bachelor show. Because I'll tell you what really goes on in society. You know, when you get when he went home and you get a law firm that writes you, your wife wants to divorce you. Okay. How does that make you feel, right? Happens. You know, he was sulking for a year or two. He wanted to be with her for the next 20 or 30 years. Didn't work out. But I said, Matt, I go, you got her for 7 years, man. You know, that's about, I hate to say it, but I tell guys, that's a good run. You got your two kids. It's a good run, really. I'm not trying to be put it down. I'm saying you get, you know, 7, 8, 10 years with an American wife. It's a good run, bro. You have her, you know, put out a few kids for you. Now you're a dad and you can be a grandfather and you can enjoy your kids. He loves his kids to death and he's, you know, he's really good at being a father. So that's wonderful. But I go, women, like my dad used to tell me, he used to have a gleam in his eye. He's smoking his pipe. He'd say, son, but hadn't have met your mother. Just remember, none of this would have ever happened. But I love your mother to death. Right? And he goes, he gave me a good piece of advice. He goes, son, your whole life, women come and go. Friends come and go. And jobs come and go. It's hard, like they always say, at the end of your life, if you've got some money in the bank, 5 good friends that you can count on one hand without thinking too hard about it, and you've led a good life, the well-lived life, it's a pretty good life.
Yeah.
You know, most people in America die broke. They don't have 5 friends. Their social wealth is zero in the sense of not having many friends or things of that nature. And that's sad, but that's the state of affairs. You know, and just one of those things that you got to live your, you know, it's always up to you and me, right? You got to make your best life happen, man. Anyway, and no matter what life throws at you, make lemonade, baby. It's what I always say. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, make lemonade. Some guys are just not destined to be married, and some guys are. And I tell guys, they go, man, my wife is so great. I said, I'm so happy. I really am. And I go, you are lucky in love. Good for you. Good for you. Now be the best father you can be. You know, enjoy her to the max. You guys should be traveling the world, raise a bunch of kids, live happily ever after, whatever.
Right.
Everyone likes the happy ending in the movie, right? Everyone likes the happy ending. I always say that.
Yeah, and every time I go to an Asian massage parlor, they love the happy ending too.
Yes, she will love you long time, guys.
She'll love you a really long time. You got it.
She'll love you long time. That was a great. I keep that ball there for you. I knew you'd hit it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, man. You know, it's just a sign of the times, right? I mean, you gotta learn to duck and cover when times change. And, you know, basically being a bachelor, that's what it is. I mean, duck, cover, tuck and roll. I mean, you take the good with the bad and you move on. And, you know, when you're a bachelor and you're living alone, you don't have all those bills. You can put cash away for a rainy day or put Castaway for a rainy presidential administration like we're dealing with, because it's going to happen in your life. And if you're a bachelor, you can weather those storms much better, much easier. And when times are good, make as much money as you can, because there's going to be down times where you can just have the money in the bank, let everybody else freak out, right, while you're going to the restaurant,
right.
And there's, you know, you don't have an hour wait because there's not 500 people there. There's only 50 that can afford to be there. And now, in the bad times, if you want to go on dates, you're the only guy in your area with money, so you're the bachelor king. Every neighborhood's got to have a bachelor king, right?
Yes,
and,
that's why I
yeah.
God save the bachelor king. It's the theme of this show. The bachelor is the new king, the new Caesar
right.
of the neighborhood.
Right.
While your married compadres are slogging through life, all depressed, they've gained 100 pounds, they're 40 looking
right.
like 60 or 70. I know a lot of guys around my neighborhood that look like that. I'm going, oh, let me guess, wife and three or four
yeah.
kids. Yeah.
Right.
I got an Eastern Europe. You're a guy from Eastern Europe across from me. He goes,
yep.
fun weekend. He goes, my wife, she bought another car. What should I do? I go, I'd love
advice.
The car and drive it, man. You married her. She keeps buying stuff.
Okay.
Now she's bought two cars in the last year and gives him the bill. Pay it. You're the man. Because you as the man are the provider, right? You're the provider.
Right.
You better provide.
Yep.
Or she's going to
hey,
call you a
look.
Loser.
Look, here's what I know, okay? So as far as bachelors go, you're running up and down the West Coast, having fun, enjoying the beach views. I'm a bachelor. I'm playing with Arabian horses for a financial future. We have great jobs. Another bachelor friend of mine is doing, you know, again, he's doing really well. Everybody that we know that's married or that was married and got divorced here in this last like 10, 15 years, you know, like our other friend Maverick, I mean, you know, he's hanging out in a mobile home park, you know, with his girlfriend because she's got the money. He doesn't have it. Him and his ex-wife blew through $1 million in that divorce. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Everybody we know that has gone through that has nothing. And, you know, I thank my lucky stars for the last 20 years I've been a bachelor, right? And luckily I had some financial, you know, plans done when I was younger that my divorce didn't cost me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in my children's educations for university, I mean, we're talking, you know, Wesleyan University and Amherst College, and we're talking New England expensive colleges that, you know, were covered for what my investments were back then. So, you know, and I was able to build and save my way back. But, man, if these young bachelors don't pay attention and start doing that now, I don't know where they're going to be in the next 5, 10, 15 years because we never know what's coming down, right? We didn't see COVID coming. We didn't see
right.
this kind of administration coming. We didn't see the United States allowing Russia to take a country over, or China's going to take Taiwan in about, what, within 90 days. I mean, we didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're a bachelor, you have the time because you don't have to sit at dinner and have a conversation with a wife, you know, that is begging for your attention. You can go research like, okay, if I do this, this, and this, if this happens, you know, 5, 10 years from now, I can weather the storm. So as bachelors, I think our best advice to the young bachelors would be start preparing for different scenarios now financially, and you'll be very well taken care of emotionally when it happens, right? So
that's right.
That might be the best advice. And if the bad doesn't happen, you'll be very well emotionally taken care of because you'll have even more money in the bank. Right? So either way,
that's right.
you'll be taken care of emotionally,
and financially, whether it's very well financially or weathering all the storms financially while everybody else freaks out around you. You know what I mean?
Right, I do.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks so much, man. We'll put you back on if we got some time here in the latter part of the show. Thanks for the call, big guy. Appreciate it, man. Good talking to you, man.
Right,
the Gladiator, folks. Words of wisdom there, pearls of wisdom to think about. Yeah, if you meet the right girl, go for it. If you don't, you don't. One of those things in life. There are guys that I know that are very happy being married, and that's cool. But this show isn't dedicated to them. The show, I'm glad they're happy, but you walk into a bookstore, they've got 1,000 books on being married, how to be married. But there's very little information about bachelors in America. It's the war on men. That's why I dedicated the show for the bachelor. And I know you're out there listening, guys. A lot of you guys are afraid to call in. Maybe you feel it's kind of a stigma. You don't want to be, you know, it's okay if you're a bachelor, if you're like 18 or 20. But some of you guys feel a little awkward with it in your 30s, 40s, et cetera, 50s maybe. Who knows? Young 50s, young 60s, whatever. People are now living to 100, so it goes like that. But look, in life, you do your best. It's all you can do. You do your best, and you let everything else take care of itself. For the chicks out there, the way they view life, it's a little bit like this promo. It's another day, and to her, it's another man or bachelor.
Another day, another man. This is the story of women who thought they earned their money the easy way, only to find that they had to pay for their sins. Sex without shame. See lust. Raw, naked violence. In the boldest and most intimate scenes ever shown on any screen. In Another Day, Another Man. These are the women who fight for their men, for another man means another dollar. They have no scruples. They're corrupt and immoral, as their passions run riot. They live only for the excitement of each day. For the pleasures of each night. If you want to see a film that strips away all conventions, that dares to tell all, then you must see Another Day, Another Man.
God, I love that. Yeah, and if the ladies in your life, if you think they're aliens or from an alien world, well, they might sound a little bit like this.
We come from way out past Alpha Centauri, and as we're here on planet Earth observing your ways, we're listening to the Von Weon Show. It's on the Internet Radio Galaxy.
Damn right. And don't forget my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy.
Welcome to the world of the modern-day Bachelor with Vaughn's legendary book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy and the Retro and Modern-Day Bachelor Guide for the New Renaissance Man of the New Millennium and Beyond. This awesome book is an international underground cult classic and bestseller. This book is really cool and you'll love it. It is really a mind-blowing journey into bachelorhipdom. Everything you can imagine about the bachelor lifestyle of retro yesteryear and today, you can find in this ultimate bachelor manifesto, from the history of the bachelor to how to throw a great Playboy Mansion-style bachelor party, career, finance, movies, politics, humor, travel, expat lifestyle, the MGTOW movement, sexy chicks, of course, and a lot of other very cool and interesting micro chapters are all contained in this easy-to-read must-have book. I'm proud to offer it to you here in all of its grand glory, so read on as Caesar commands it. You can find this awesome book at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and other fine online venues and fine brick-and-mortar stores. Onwards to the Empire. And may God save the Bachelor King.
That's right. We are the Bachelor King.
Low overcast tonight. Low around 58. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a high near 68. No smog. Beaches now 62. Valley 66. Downtown 65. Orange County 66.
Don't dare stare at the Illustrated Man.
Right. If you're out there, guys, you always want to splash on some numero uno cologne because you are numero uno.
Numero uno.
Four men on a search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold. Numero uno green. Numero uno red. Numero uno silver. Four numero uno colognes. All different. All wild. Find yours with a searcher kit. A jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno.
Gotta love that. Well, go ahead and get an adult beverage, get a cocktail from the bar. I will, and I shall return after this very cool song from the Tijuana Brass. God, I love that song. Well, like I was telling you in the early part of the show, and me and the Gladiator were talking, and we'll get Brett the Surfer on here in a moment. He's called into the studio here. He's in the green room, getting ready with the surfboard, ready to rock and roll. As like I said, when I was a young guy out of college, out of Purdue, you know, I'm out there working in corporate America. Well, I wasn't from Texas, but I drove down to Texas, right? And I was in the Midwest going to school. I was out-of-state student from the West Coast originally. We drove down to Dallas, Texas. Never been there before. Thought, wow, the place was chock full of jobs, right? Well, I told you I kept meeting these guys. They were like 40, 50 in my office or in the resorts I was working, et cetera, who said, yeah, man, I used to have a house and a Harley and a sports car and, you know, 100 grand the bank or my investments. I used to own some land in West Texas. They were drilling for oil. And I go, why are you telling me all this stuff? Why are you even here? Why don't you go enjoy all of your toys, man? It sounds to me like you're a millionaire that you made it. I'm proud of you. There's hope for me, too. There's hope for all of us. So get out there and ride your Harley in the beautiful Texas hot sun and enjoy your cash. And then it got dead silent, and the guy would look at me and go, hey, kid, I used to have all that, but I don't have it anymore. I go, well, what happened? Well, after I heard this 100 times, they all said the same thing. Well, I married for love, and I got divorced. Now, that's sad. Nobody wants that to happen to anybody. But my point is, it's sort of a tongue-in-cheek thing with me. I used to go, note to self. Guy number 86 said the same thing. And then in parentheses, I would write on my little notebook, whatever you do, don't get married unless you meet the love of your life. In other words, don't make stupid mistakes in life. But I would say, yeah, note to self, don't get married. That's my own joke. After meeting so many guys, the common theme was they all got married in the Texas – lawyers there, the attorneys on billboards back then, even here in Phoenix, they're getting rich off you guys. They're getting to be millionaires. They hate this show. They don't want us talking about this. In America, if you're a man, you're not supposed to be talking about these things. You're supposed to suffer in silence, sit there and take it and be quiet. Right? Right? You know I'm right. That's what they like men to be in America. Sit there and take it. Take society's bullshit. Take her BS. Take a lot of political BS, job BS. And you're supposed to be Mr. Sponge and just absorb it all. And they want you to sit there, shut the fuck up, and be quiet. Pardon my French. Well, it's true. I also noticed that all these guys, they're relegated to the dirtiest part of the house. When I was a young guy, I'd come over and have a barbecue with somebody. Now I live, of course, in Phoenix, Scottsdale. I was raised out there in California. But all through my travels of life, it doesn't matter what state you're in. It could be Indiana. It could be Oklahoma. It could be California. It could be Washington State. It could be Arizona. It could be Florida. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Chicagoland there in Illinois, wherever. I always noticed that the married guys, after about 15, 20 years of married, once the kids were pretty much up and going, would normally sit in the garage, the dirtiest part of the house, or the backyard where all the mosquitoes were and all the bugs. In other words, the dirtiest parts of the house. And I would always ask them, why are you here? Well, one, my wife is screaming, I need peace and quiet. And there's no other place for me to go. In other words, the queen bee took over the host. She took over the house. And she's given you a designated sitting area while she rules the roost. Guys, don't put up with that crap. You are a sucker for putting – I see this all the time. Don't even put up with her giving you – a honey-do list. You give her a honey-do list. You don't let her tell you where you can sit in the backyard or the garage, the dirtiest parts of the house, where all the bugs are, where all the you know, greases from the cars, the oil, where you fix cars. I know guys that have sat out there for 20, 30 years. It's a sad testament. But I know it is what it is. But you got to be careful out there, boys. I see that in a pejorative sense. We're all boys, in a sense. But you got to be careful, man, because if you're not, these attorneys are like vultures. They're just waiting for things to go bad. They want you to descend upon your estate and carve it up and eat it and pick your bones, man. That's why the attorneys drive the latest cars. They have million-dollar mansions, Swiss bank accounts. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And a lot of them live high off the hog. And there are, what they don't tell you is many of the attorneys are bachelors. And a lot of them are not married because they know the pitfalls of it. Again, marriage is only good for those who know the pitfalls, who know the ins and outs, and who are with truly the person they want to spend the rest of their life with. If you can't say that, then don't do it. Well, you know, back in the day, people would travel and do this and that. And reminds me of this movie. And, well, it's called Blow. It goes like this. Retro California promo, I call it.
I ain't poor, because I don't ever want to be poor.
Then you won't.
I decided right then and there I wasn't going to live like that. I needed to get as far away as possible. I moved to California in the summer of 1968 with the tuna. We had $300 and a black TR-3. There sure was nothing like this back home. It was paradise. We got a small one-bedroom apartment right on the beach. Wasn't much, but it had its perks.
George.
You need some help?
California was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Hey, what's the deal?
People were liberated, independent, full of new ideas. They used words like right on, groovy, solid. Women were beautiful, and they all seemed to share the same occupation.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
I'm a stewardess.
Yeah, on the airplane.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, it's time to get Brett the Surfer on, and we'll bring him on board. He's ready for the green room. But at first, we'll play a little intro song, a little surf music, which gets him in the mood for the show.
How are you?
Doing good,
easy,
doing good. Well, it's day one plus my birthday. And
yeah.
I thank
Happy
you for the great birthday
man.
Wishes, man. Appreciate that.
You're a youngster.
Yeah. I know, man. You know what? Being born in August, big things happened. The Trump raid yesterday. Olivia Newton-John died. I always say big things, big news things happen on my birthday, man, on the 8th of August.
Yes,
crazy.
They do.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's
every
an
year,
day,
I
man.
Notice the news is wild.
that's
it was
else.
Wild when I was born. They said, "Oh my God, he broke the mold. Who the F is this kid?"
Yeah.
But here I am, man, in all my glory. You know.
They threw me a surfboard, brother. And
they threw you a surfboard and said, surf those waves, Brett. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, man, now,
do, man.
For our radio audience, we know you're happily married, and that's groovy and cool in surf lingo, right?
But like
being a bachelor show, I want you to go back to when you were a bachelor or just your knowledge of what you've seen with the young millennial guys that are coming up, whether they get married or not. It's always an individual choice. I want you to give them your best advice for one, for a job and a career, and for picking that special someone, either girlfriend or wife. Go.
You have to have, if you want to meet someone, you got to have all the blocks lined up. You know, it's have a plan or plan to fail. So if your objective is to do that and meet someone, you need to, you need to get a career, get educated. Whether that's a four-year degree, maybe not. Maybe it's getting certified in some kind of software or learning a trade, you know, something like that. Maybe, you definitely don't want to rack up a ton of debt in college and get out of college and not have a path or something that you can pick as a career. So but that'd be my advice. Don't be afraid to try everything, man, because the really secret is hard work. And then, buy yourself a piece of real estate, maybe some land if you can, and have build a financial fortress, if you will. And then, if you're looking for that lady, find someone, like you said, that you want to be with the rest of your lives, that you're going to be a team, you're going to be together. And whether you have kids or not, the kids are great if you're going to do that, but it's your relationship that's the most important thing. You know, if that fails, then, it can just trickle down over onto the kids as well. But that's if you're going to go that route. But like you said, make sure it's someone that you want to be with for the rest of your life and someone that's a partner, a business partner, and, your companion, you know. So that's kind of my advice. And like I've said before, 50% do it, 50% don't. Decide not to get married and live the bachelor lifestyle. It's, everyone's got their own prerogative, their free will. But you've got to do what's best for you, you know. And, with these perilous times that we're in, I will say have a plan. If you're going to stay single, have a plan still. A plan to fail, you know. Whatever you're going to do, or if you're going to get married, you better have a plan, you know. And I think that's just that's important advice for the millennials. And, never give up. You know, you're going to fail maybe 1,000 times, but you will succeed eventually. You know, so, but I think in this day and age, we're going to, with what's going on politically speaking, I think a lot of the bachelors, we may need a lot of bachelors that are warriors as well. So,
that's
what's
right.
coming on here, in the future. So, but that, those are my pearls of wisdom this evening.
I like your pearls of wisdom. Those are good, man. Those are all real solid things to say. It's been interesting. I tell people that I've been watching America for a couple of decades now, at least. And, since being a kid and whatnot, been watching what's going on. And, we have a lot of bachelors who listen to our Thursday show. This is sort of the fun show. In the sense that we're trying to give you guys a leg up. We're trying to give you a platform for you to speak your mind. I'm surprised. You guys are funny. A lot of the men are funny. They will call me after the show. They'll text me, email me, go to my social. Oh, I love the show. I go, why don't you call live? Well, they hem-haw around, right? So
yeah.
I
yeah.
keep telling you guys, Dan, you got to be a man. Exactly. You got to be a man early on, and this is a great way to show it, stand and deliver. Call a radio show.
Yeah.
State your mind. We know you're out there because I get the stats, so don't be coy about that. I get the information. We have great statistics that come in from ISP addresses, Apple downloads, the show's everywhere. So I know you're out there listening. A lot of women are too because they want to know what men really think. And for the young ladies out there, we love you. We want more of you. But the thing is they have to learn too. For a woman to be successful, in my book, she has to know how men think. She's been told and taught, in my view, Brett, a lot of psychobabble, a lot of feel-good, just liberal crap from our public schools. About men, about life, about money. They're just, their minds are filled with mush and TikTok. And though I like TikTok videos, don't get me wrong, they are pretty funny.
Yeah.
But that's what they're thinking 24/7. And then they meet a guy, and the guy's a young bachelor who's a listener of my show. And my guy is coming in the arrangement with pre-knowledge. It's good to have pre-knowledge of good and evil, of men and women, of society. Her political and financial mind is completely warped to the young bachelor. And unfortunately, I'd like to bring people together. We're all about reuniting families, right, and things of that nature. But the thing is, it's kind of like when Mars meets Venus, like the famous book, right? Men are from Mars,
yeah.
Women are from Venus. Women are now... not even from Venus. They're from Planet X. In my view, they're so far out there. They're not even Venus anymore. They're not Venusians anymore. So what women bring to the table, they need to be thinking about that. What do I bring to the table? We talk a lot about the young bachelors. What about the young bachelorettes? If you're a young girl listening to the show, you got to ask yourself, what do I bring to the table? What can I contribute? And what I'm driving at is you need to work with your man. Don't work against your man. Western women, the career woman that came up in the 80s and the 90s, they were all taught that, you know, men are scum and women are all made with sugar and spice and everything nice, right?
Yeah.
That created a ton of divorces. Millions of broken relate with that attitude that she's bringing to the table. The men weren't aware of it. The men just thought, oh, I'm going to marry a great woman like my father. And that's why I'm here. It's going to work out for a lot of guys because the women's programming is key. Take two to tango.
Yeah.
And so if you're a young woman listening to the show, and many of you are, many of you write me, you'd be thinking, what do I bring to the table? What if I hook up with a guy? It's not just about we love a good life. Everyone loves to have a great sex life and a great love life and all that. I get it. But my point is, what else do you bring? Is my question, what else do you bring to the table?
In other words,
you need to work
are,
with
yeah.
a man and not against him. And so many women, Brett, in my view, they're programmed to work against the American man and not with him. What are your thoughts?
There are women like that, you know, that's why, you know, but if you are looking for that, a woman, a companion, make sure just like you were going to start a business or make an investment, you do your research, you find out, you know, do they have everything, to be an equal, you know, and that's that's an important thing. Or, you know, you definitely don't want to be a pawn, there are brainwashed men and women out there, but I guess that's why I'd go back to have a plan. If your plan is to do that, then do the appropriate research and find out, know everything, you know, everything about them, you know, not like meet the parents type of stuff, but, and make sure she does the same with you. Hey, why not? Why not do it? Look at her analyze her, and she should do the same with you. And if you equally do that, then that may be a good plan, you know. But it's up to that individual. You know, you've got to make the decision. What are you going to do? Are you going to do that, or what's your path in life? You know, So it's everybody to each his own, you know. But you know, anytime you do an investment or you're going to start a business, you do the appropriate research, you do your due diligence, and make sure it's a good match, you know. And if you don't, then shame on you, you know. You didn't do the appropriate research and background check, if you will, and things went south, you know. You know, you can't just do it on emotion. You have to do it on logic and fact.
See, in many religions, marriage is viewed as a sacrament. In other words, to me, it's for two people to meet. I think in America, and in America with a K, in the Western society, I think they've dumbed down marriage, where, you know, it's now like a drive-through service. You get your Big Mac and fries, and it's push butts in America, and you're going to get married on screen 4. And then if it doesn't work out, you go to Vegas, you go through that drive-through divorce, which they do have a drive-through divorce window in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You go through that drive-through.
Unless the attorneys get hold of you.
Right. Then you do that divorce. If the attorneys get a hold of you, then they'll take every nickel from you, is what they're trying to do, is rip off your wealth and leave you high and dry. Mm-hmm. So then the middle-aged man does live in a van down by the river. But if you're an American woman listening to the show, you need to be thinking, like, you know, what Abret said and what I've said is, if you're not going to work with your man, if you're really not going, if that mindset is so alien to you, as a woman, you have no business getting married. I will repeat that. If you are not going to work with your man, and if your goal is to work against him from day one, you have no business getting married. You have no business. Then just stay in the bars, hang out with the guys, yeah, be a good time girl,
exactly,
but don't even think about getting married. Women think when they get married, they win the Powerball. It's not all about you, dear, honey. Darling, it takes two to tango.
Exactly.
So the men are looking at this going, more and more men are analyzing things a lot more, going, hey, what does she bring to the table other than, you know, her great body or whatever? You know, that is great. And you need that. Don't get me wrong. You need that. But I've always said this on a scale of 1 to 10. I'll gladly give you the 10 if I get the 8, the girl who's the 8 with the great mind, the great personality, who will work with me. That right there is worth 2 notches on the look scale from 1 to 10 with me.
Oh,
if she has the right attitude, no problem. I like a good solid 8 anyway. And born in the 8th month and the 8th day,
yeah.
So I like the number 8. The number 8 is my lucky number in Vegas. It is. I go there, I see 8 everywhere. If I bet 8, I win. I'm an 8.
That's amazing.
And 8, actually, in numerology, in Greek and Roman numerology, it's really infinity. If you think about it. If you're an atom and you're going around the curve of the 8, it never ends. Infinite.
Yeah.
Infinite times.
Figure 8.
So,
figure 8, man.
Figure 8, baby. That's right. That's right. And with women, yeah, I mean, that to me is worth, I always say, guys go, but man, I'm with a 10. I go, great. But, okay, after you bang her, now what? Okay. You know, I mean, you had a great time with her, but my point is, a lot of these guys, have you ever seen the real doped up girls? They have tons of makeup, maybe in a Vegas casino or a resort, or maybe even just down the street at the local trailer park, wherever you see it. But this this pretty girl would be going nuts, berserk, at a bar, at a restaurant. And you see the guy there kind of standing kind of sheepishly. And then I'll go, well, man, she's pretty crazy, but at least you've got a 10, right? No, I don't say that because he'll go nuts. But I'm thinking that going, you got your 10. You got your 10. She's real pretty. But she didn't tell you she was a psycho, did she? You got the drama.
Yeah.
You want a psycho girl because they're great in bed? I get it. You date those girls. You don't marry them. And the guys stand there and go, oh, yeah, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Stop apologizing. Stop having troubles. Stop having troubles. Stop giving yourself trouble. Guys, get your head out of your ass. Start thinking clearly about your life,
about
your business, your job,
and
women.
Yes.
Go for it.
That's true. You just got to think it through, man. Whatever you want to do, you know, you reach for the top no matter what you're going to do. And make sure your partner, if you are going to go that route, is 100% with you, you know, and you've got to keep her, you know. So, you know, that's...
Well,
that's,
the phrase now, Brett, is the guys go, well, it's cheaper to keep her. Cheaper to keep her. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to slap one of you guys.
Cheaper,
you know, you'll get a knuckle sandwich for me. It's cheaper to keep her. Like you're some doofus. Neanderthal. Okay, so it's cheaper to keep her. Great, Sherlock. Now what? Well, I don't really know. I haven't thought that far. Well, that's your problem. Brett, have you ever seen a real pretty girl go berserk in a hotel lobby or an office or something? I know I have.
No. Well, I mean, I guess.
And the guy's
standing
there forlorn. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. No, I know. I've seen that before. I used to travel quite a bit around the country. But, you know, again, it's who you're with. If you're with someone like that, shame on you. You know, you made the wrong decision. It's a tragic state, you know, to be in. But
it is. But my point is, don't lecture us, guys, on how much she is a 10. If she's a psycho bitch from hell, you don't want that. Brett, thanks so much for calling the show, man. Appreciate you, buddy.
Take it easy, bro.
Have a great night,
Bob.
Amigo. Appreciate it.
Take it easy, man.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, guys, you don't want a psycho bitch from hell. Come on. Life's too short. Why do you put up with this crap? I'll tell you a little story, tell you a little secret. It's us talking here, nobody else, right? Nobody else is listening in around the world or around the nation. Well, when I went to the West Coast, California and Oregon, I love watching people. I love watching couples especially. Are some of you guys blind? is my question. You'll see a guy who's an average-looking guy. But my God, some of you guys must be really desperate for sex. Because some of the women you're with are hideous. I mean, not even attractive in the remote sense, just hideous. And then on top of that, she's a bitch to you, yelling at you, saying you order a hamburger and fries. She wants two hamburgers and fries. You got to pay for this hildebeest that you're stuck with. And I sit there as the consummate world traveler, savvy bachelor, savvy businessman. I'm looking at you going, thank God she's with him and never with me. Thank God he stuck with her. I feel for you. Don't get me wrong as another man, but I'm going, I just go, look, he's made his call. He's made his choice. Unbelievable. Are you guys... need some contact lenses or glasses when you're dating girls? Because what you pick is just amazing to me. I've always said you're better off being alone than being with a hildebeest. That's for damn sure. I mean, it's so bad. It's kind of – I had a chuckle there in a few places. I'm going, you know, just hearing the conversation, you know, two tables away. Can't help because she's so freaking loud. And I'm trying to text a friend. I have to look up and go, okay, where's the hildebeest? Oh, I see her now. She's with that guy. But this is pretty funny stuff, but it's out there, and life is funny. A lot of these situations are funny. They're not funny in the moment. It's not funny if you're on there receiving them. But I think a lot of you guys, you're just like gluttons for punishment. Do you really like a sadomasochist woman? Do you really like to be punished verbally and have to live with someone who's irate, never happy? The state of the American woman, hate to say it, not all. There's some beautiful women out there with beautiful hearts and minds, and there are some real gems out there still. But I will say they're getting fewer and fewer and far, far between. In other words, it's like finding a needle in a haystack now, but they're out there. Having said that, we're not talking about the exceptions to the rule. We're talking about the rule. And the rule in society is pretty much that a lot of these chicks are just, you know, it's just amazing what some of you guys select. Be a little more selective is my best advice to you. Be a little more selective. Pick out something you really want to be with. But beyond that, it was a great trip. Got to see the North Coast. Met a lot of great people out that way. And really cool vacation that I really needed to blow out of town, get out of the heat. But keep those beverages and those shot glasses poured, gentlemen. And I'll be back in a moment, I promise. A guy wrote the show recently, and he had a pretty good point of view here, which I'm going to get out for you and tell you what he said. He said, "This is an entertaining show, Von Weehunt. Love you. I'm an alpha male, Generation Xer, just like you. I'm now relaxing in my study, some Irish whiskey in my flask, stogie by my side, my favorite red samurai kimono smoking jacket, My feet are propped up on my 1940s Oakwood desk, my favorite swivel office chair I'm sitting in, surrounded by a sword collection, politically incorrect art, vintage Tiffany lamps casting an amber glow, and 1,000 books at my disposal. It's a swell way to spend an evening talking about dames and guy stuff on The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show. Keep up the great work. Love the show. It's not for the easily offended or the millennial soy boys or any Karens or any militant leftists out there. Love that. What a great point of view from one of our listeners. Well, back in the day, the 1970s, we had Charlie's Angels, we had Fantasy Island, all those really cool retro TV shows showing the hot teenage girls of the era and time. And the space-time continuum, I always say, and it sounds a little bit like this.
Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy. And they were each assigned very hazardous duties. But I took them away from all that, and now they work for me. My name is Charlie.
Love that. Well, before a man settles down and gets married with 2.2 kids in America, he is a rogue bachelor. We will teach him the ways of his Viking fathers and talk in depth about what he needs to do in order to be a success in life. It's The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show, kiddo. Every first Tuesday of the month, except for this month of August at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, baby. It is the equal opportunity offender type show, and I'm glad that you're here tonight. A bachelor is someone who isn't married. This may be by default if you just haven't found the right partner yet, or it may be by choice. A bachelor's life can be fulfilling and interesting, provided you don't feel that not being part of a couple is causing you to miss out on enjoying life. With a happy heart and a determination and a steely edge to live life well, leading a bachelor's life can be a pleasant and very rewarding option for many men. Every generation has its destiny. And for the young men of the atomic age, it was nothing less than to have the world as their oyster and then wash it all down with a dry retro martini. After World War II, the new masculine archetype flourished. Fresh from victory in World War II and gorged on the fruits of affluence and the burgeoning American economy, the American men developed a democratized pop form of bachelordom or dandyism for the masses, as they say, a cult of style and leisure, which Hugh Hefner made famous. based on the carefree life of bachelorhood. With a well-paying office job and the benefits of the growing sexual revolution, plenty of hot ladies at the office to consort with, the swinging bachelor could cultivate a carefree and very cool lifestyle based on everything that was modern, hip, and trendy and cool to him alone. In short, for the first time in American history, he could become a playboy. Founded in 1953, Hugh Hefner's Playboy empire became the Bible of this modern-day male, which carries on into 2022. Even with the demise of Hugh Hefner, his empire is bigger than ever before. The magazine, when it first came out, was a verifiable how-to guide for the upwardly mobile young male professional. Its pages packed with the spoils of La Dolce Vita, stylish clothes, cool gadgets, convertible sports cars, jazz and rock music, and tropical tiki hut style cocktails. With Playboy, the swinging bachelor can keep up on all the latest trends from style and fashion, from the mambo, even to psychoanalysis, if you will, while dreaming of parallel or alternate universes of taking a yacht to the South Pacific or maybe a rocket ship to the moon. So gentlemen, pirates, and rat pack bastards worldwide, we're so glad that you have decided to spend a precious few hours of your life with us on the show. We want you to be successful out there. Part of that is you should get my book, my hit book published in 2012, already a decade ago, entitled The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's found at fine bookstores everywhere and online coast to coast. I know you will enjoy it very, very much. Reminds me of those 1960s, 1970s, those retro movies back in the day. The promos sound a little bit like this.
The female bunch.
They live free.
Taking what they want.
From all walks of life.
You're hurting me, Marty.
They swore never again to let a man hurt them. The female bunch.
They tease men. They torture them. They love them.
We don't give a damn about society's rule. We have our own laws here.
Break one of their laws, you won't live to regret it.
Russ Tamblyn, Lon Chaney Jr., Jennifer Bishop in the female bunch.
They're coming soon.
The female bunch, just love that. What about girl on a motorcycle?
Now you'll know the thrill of wrapping your legs around a tornado of pounding pistons, like the girl on a motorcycle. She goes as far as she wants, as fast as she wants, straddling the potency of 100 wild horses, the girl on a motorcycle.
Yes, but there's more, plenty more.
Don't whip me anymore.
They call her Shanty Trent. Who is she? Where did she come from? How did she get the name of Shanty Trent? Meet her friends, booted, buckled, and revved for action, burning the highways with terror, always one step ahead of the fuzz, are the friends of Shanty Tran. This unusual and abnormal motion picture makes those Swedish movies look like a Sunday school show. From the swamp-infested backwoods of Georgia comes the story of a lust-loving tramp. Born broke, she found a way to make money. She loved them all. That's Shanty Tramp. Teenagers will not be permitted to see Shanty Tramp without the written permission of their parents. Special uniform police will supervise admissions.
God, I just love that. Well, if you recall that movie Scarface back in the day starring the great actor Al Pacino, I love when he looks up in the sky and he sees that Goodyear blimp broadcasting the slogan, "The world is yours." And it is, my friends. It's that simple. The world is yours if you take it. If you seize it, carpe diem. And when you go to work, are you aware of the concept of the work wife, the woman at work who thinks she's your wifey back home and who dotes over you? This is a common thing now. There's a work wife and a work husband for the ladies out there. I always say make your own manifest destiny, like the founding of America. And how is your love life, America? How is your love life, Mr. Bachelor? Are you getting any? Hope so. It's all out there for the taking, boys. And you know what I mean. For the taking, literally. Some of the women are just throwing themselves at some of you guys. I see it all the time. Take her up on it. It's like picking an apple off the tree of life. It's pretty amazing stuff. This is a real fun show. We had a few callers who called who dropped off. We had the Gladiator on and Brett the Surfer. Gosh, we're so glad that everyone is here tonight. You know, there is a guy on the radio that talks about the diamond commercials. They say you should spend 6 months of your salary on a diamond, but the young millennials are approaching any kind of marital bliss very carefully. They're actually buying fake diamonds because they're not sure if she'll say yes. And that way, if she says no, the man's out virtually no money but a $4.95 fake diamond ring. That's one more avenue for you guys. We're always full of options and solutions on the show. We are for solutions. That's one more thing I wanted to mention to you before the show's ending tonight. The diamond that sparkles and shines hopefully will shine later on as well. If it really goes well, then you can buy her a real diamond later on. And now you have a friend in the diamond business, as they say. Gosh. Guys, we talked about real estate, relationships tonight, cash, money, investments, family, society, the great society, the Playboy Mansion on the radio airwaves, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, the only book a man will ever need, written by Von Wehunt, yours truly. We're so glad that you came tonight. We're so glad that everything is good with you and groovy and cool. Hope you will write the show. If you don't want to call, then we will read your comments on the air. Rest assured. And with that, I bid you all farewell. Are you desperate out there? Are you desperate, Mr. and Mrs. America? Well, I hope not. But we are desperate at times, but not serious. Thank you so much for being here. The show is over, and I will broadcast my next show on Thursday night for our hard-hitting political show. Be there, 8 p.m. Pacific time. It's a Von Wehunt production, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Desperate, not serious.